Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, Sweetland Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Another late night win for the Red Sox. Another late night win if you stayed up for it. If you didn't, you woke up and found out again, hey, that team came back pretty good. 14-3 now, the Red Sox in extra innings. And we will get to that a little bit later in the Baseball Reporters. But I want to get to some other things first. One specific story regarding David Price. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, I remind you that the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. You can check them out at jacksonlumber.com. And if you've never been there, believe me, the place is fabulous. Really fabulous. Check it out again, jacksonlumber.com. 617-779-0985 is your number here of the Baseball Reporters. We'll open up the phone lines right away. But I want to get to me, there's a little bit of news in this regarding David Price, the Red Sox, John Farrell, and what the plan is for David Price going forward. Price, as you know, just returned to the bullpen, returned to active status over the weekend, pitched two innings against the Tampa Bay Rays on Sunday, two perfect innings in which he threw 21 pitches, I think it was 15 for strikes. I didn't think he was quite as good as everyone else seems to think, and not that that should surprise you, but based on the numbers, you look at it and said the guy was dominant. I don't know if he really was, and I'm not sure the command was quite as good as everyone thinks, but I watched it again today and watched it more closely today, and I will say Price was good. He was good. I don't know if he was great, but he was good, especially for a guy who hasn't thrown the ball in a couple of months. So to me, the question now is, what do the Red Sox have in mind with this guy? Obviously, he's going to pitch in the bullpen, but what does that mean? Sixth inning? They come in, he's going to get a key out, face a lefty? Is he going to pitch fifth inning? Is he going to pitch the eighth? Like, what is the plan for David Price? So this afternoon, John Farrell, Red Sox manager, was on, I think he does a weekly interview on the MLB radio network. And he was asked about Price and what the plan is going forward. The question, I think, is included, so it's pretty self-explanatory. But to our producer, Jimmy Stewart, go ahead and play it.
Is he a guy that you feel like you can go to back-to-back? Can he be? I know you saw it firsthand the way Tito used Andrew Miller last year. Can he be your Andrew Miller?
Yeah, at this point, I'm not going to rule it out. But I think we've got to get through these first, you know, these final 12 or so games what's remaining here with some frequency of use, but not. It's all going to depend upon how many pitches he's thrown the day before, how stressful, and where we are with other guys. So I will say this. The first two innings that he's thrown out of the bullpen couldn't have gone any better.
Okay, so again, that's Farrell on the MLB Network Radio, right? And I don't know who the host was on that show that he was on today, but the question was point blank, could you use him the same way you use Andrew Miller? And he said, I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not going to rule it out. He was then asked the same question by the Boston beat corps tonight, specifically our very own Johnny Miller at WBZAM. And if you know Johnny has a speech impediment, you've heard us play his audio here before. Here's what Farrell said to Johnny.
Potentially, could he be another Andrew Miller?
Johnny, it's David Price. It's not Andrew Miller. To even suggest that is too premature. He threw the ball well Sunday.
What an ass clown.
Okay, so which one is it? Like, so the MLB Network radio guys asked it, and I'm not going to rule it out.
At this point, I'm not going to rule it out.
Okay, but then Johnny Miller asks it, and he says,
it's David Price. It's not Andrew Miller. To even suggest that is too premature. He threw the ball well Sunday.
To even suggest it is too premature, but he entertained it with the other guys and said,
at this point, I'm not going to rule it out.
Okay, I'm not going to rule it out. Murray, what do you think the truth is?
I think he is going to be willing to use him like Andrew Miller, and that's how he looks at him. I also hear this audio, and it pisses me off because I feel like it's John Farrell feeling like, well, I'm on a big national show here, and there's a big reach, and I want to look like big shot manager guy here, and I have this weapon with my Andrew Miller and David Price potentially, so yeah, I'll entertain that. But, oh, the local guy that's always around bothering me, ugh. He wouldn't even, like, let him finish the question. Did you hear that? He started to interrupt him like, yep, no, it's too premature.
Potentially, could he be another Andrew Miller?
Johnny, it's David Price. It's not Andrew Miller.
I mean, Murray, you nailed it. You nailed it. I find this astonishing that a guy could do two interviews in the same day in this day and age
Not this guy.
Okay, with the internet and everything else, right? Like, you can access everything now. And he'd give, you know, they're not totally
this
different.
Is amazing.
They're not totally different answers, but they're different answers. Right? In one case, he says, yeah, it's possible. The other one says, well, yeah, way premature. I'm not even going to entertain it. When the reality is, the Red Sox are entertaining it, which on some level scares the crap out of me. So, look, we've had a lot of calls here in the last couple of days about the Red Sox pitching rotation for the postseason, where people fit in, you know, what the bullpen's going to look like, what the roster's going to look like. And it's okay to jump ahead here a little, because if they blow this division, it's a gag job. Even three up with 12 to go, or whatever the hell the number is now, and I think it's 12, they should lock this thing down. It's been their division really for a long time to lose. They shouldn't lose it. So I think it's okay to look at it now and say, where is this thing going? So the question now is, how does David Price fit in? The rotation's out. Okay, they by waiting to bring him back when they did, they clearly have angled him for the bullpen, which is leading me to wonder whether this has been all part of a plan, and whether the Red Sox looked at Price when he went down and said, you know what, we could bring him back in the bullpen. He might actually have more value to us doing that, which is debatable. It might not be wrong. But there are a million questions about this when you start going down that road. One, is Price like Andrew Miller? Does he have the stuff that Andrew Miller does? Because I don't think he does anymore. And does he have the balls that Andrew Miller had? Is he willing to do it the way that Andrew Miller did? Because Andrew Miller would come in the fifth inning and pitch two innings, maybe even more than that if he had to. Can Price do that? Can he do it back-to-back games? We don't know any of that yet, which leads to the premature part that Farrell was talking about with John Miller. But I ask you, as a fan, do you think Farrell's the next Andrew Miller? The idea of Andrew Miller, or rather of Price filling that role, is intriguing. He did it as a rookie in 08. I mean, Joe Maddon brought him in to get J.D. Drew, and he got him out. And he was a key weapon in that bullpen. That was 10 years ago, or close to it. But it's intriguing. The idea of Price being a weapon in that bullpen is intriguing. The question is whether you think Price can do it, and not a small second part of this, whether Farrell can identify the right parts of the game to use him and know how long to leave him in and when to take him out. Like, there are a million parts to being able to use a guy like that, and Francona had it nailed. I've said this to you before, Murray. I'll say it a million times. Francona had a great feel for his team when he was here during his best years. Great feel for it. He knew exactly when a player needed to rest, and he knew when a guy needed to be pushed a little. He had a great knack for that, and it was from his playing experience. Had an unbelievable knack for it. More importantly, or just as importantly, he had a knack for identifying pressure points in a game and pressure points in a season. There were days and times where he felt like the team was about to go into a spin, and so he would manage more aggressively in a game because he said, if we get a win, we'll be okay. Or if they were in a losing streak, he might play it more conservatively in a game, get a couple of runs early and get him a lead because he knew they hadn't had one in a while. So Francona had a great knack for that. I don't know if this guy does.
No, which, again, he definitely doesn't.
Okay, which again, scares the crap out of me. Felger brought up a good point this afternoon, though, that in some ways with Price, maybe it makes things simpler on Farrell. You look at it and say, well, I'm bringing him in the fifth. He's going to give me two or three, and then I can go to Reed and Kimbrel, and that's it. So you eliminate the
bar. Nothing's Farrell proof.
Okay, so I tend to lean where you lean, Murray. But look, again, there are multiple levels to this story. So here's what I want to know from fans.
Just real quick, though, in terms of the audio, I mean, he really is the gift that keeps on giving. He cannot help himself from sounding like a complete ass every once in a while. He just continues to step in it. How can you give two completely different answers and not think that people aren't going to find out about it?
Because you're clueless, or you're disingenuous, or whatever it is. Or, I mean, you sound like a jackass when you play him side by side like we just did. Again, I'm not going to rule it out. Well, that's way premature. What are you talking about? You just talked about it an hour ago, 2 hours ago, whenever it was. You just gave these guys a different answer. In fact, I heard it. That's why I asked the question. But that's probably what happened. So it blows your mind. And I'll tell you one other thing with Farrell. This is why it scares me. Because I think he gets these ideas in his head sometimes, and he can't get it out. It gets stuck in there, and he's married to the idea before he even knows. Because the reality is, we don't know about Price yet. We got to see more. He was, all things considered, pretty good on Sunday. Not as good as a lot of people think in my eyes, but he was pretty good. So I look at it now and say, this is what Farrell wants. Farrell's going to go this way, and I'm going to give you evidence to support that when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5. Sports Hub.
That was outstanding. More velocity than maybe anticipated. A lot of strikes. That could be, like I said, a little bit of a found gold situation with him going to the bullpen.
We'll play it for you again. So again, all this David Price as the next Andrew Miller thing has me chuckling a little bit because I wonder whether the Red Sox can pull it off. It's not something we haven't heard before. Let's play it again, Jimmy. See if people can get it. Play the cut.
That was outstanding. More velocity than maybe anticipated. A lot of strikes. That could be, like I said, a little bit of a found gold situation with him going to the bullpen.
Found gold in the bullpen. Do you know who he's talking about, Murray?
Yes, that would be one Drew Pomeranz.
Ah, there you go. See, we went through this last year. This happened a year ago. It happened a year ago. Drew Pomeranz, they shut him down at the end of the season, remember? And then I think it was on the final weekend of the year he got in. He hit 95, 96, and all of a sudden Farrell said, whoa, here you go. What do we have here? And what happened? They got him into the playoffs, and all of a sudden Farrell tried to use Drew Pomeranz on some level, like Terry Francona used Andrew Miller, except it didn't work, especially in Game 3.
The 1-2. Drilled to left by Coco Crisp. Back toward that wall and gone! Coco Crisp haunts his old teammates with a two-run bomb to left.
Okay, so Pomeranz blew up right in his face. He just was not, his ERA was almost 5 in the postseason last year as a reliever. So again, look, it's nice to have the idea. I'm not saying I'm against it. I like the idea. I also want to see how Price looks here down the stretch, and whether the Red Sox can pull it off is another matter entirely. This is sort of the same question I ask about their offense. You want to run more, create runs because you can't hit the ball out of the ballpark? Fine. I like the idea. Of course, it makes sense. Who doesn't like that? Do they have the people to pull it off? Because it feels like they make a lot of dumb mistakes there. So I wanted to get to all of that first because I think that there's a newsy element to that given the way that Farrell answered the questions today on the MLB Network radio and then in the pregame tonight in Baltimore. Okay, we'll play those cuts again for you a little bit later in the show. But I do want to also get to that win last night because if you are one of these people that believes that the Red Sox have demonstrated some fight and some grit and some clutch play and a knack for good situational baseball, last night again was one of your nights. 11 innings, they're down 6-1 in the middle of the game. They fight back and win that game, just as they did Friday night in Tampa. They are now 14-3 in extra innings. I mean, that has to say something good about them, doesn't it? John's in Springfield. John, what do you got?
Yeah, last night in the game with Farrell, Hanley Ramirez hasn't played in 4 games, and he has him as a pinch hitter. And the guy strikes out and doesn't even bother him. The guy hasn't played, Maz, in 4 games, plus the 4 games before he was 0-21. I don't know. He's got this cramp in his chest or whatever.
It's a bicep.
Even the doctors can't find it.
Okay, so, John, look, I question whether or not he's hurt, too. So let me ask you this question. Do you think they need Hanley Ramirez to win a world championship?
Of course not.
Okay.
All them other players are playing above their head, and they're all together. And he sort of breaks up everything, Mass.
Okay.
If you watch the game last night when he struck out, no big deal. You know, he don't care. To pay a guy $19 million to strike out, you know, you see the game like I do. I mean, the guy's useless. He's not even a team player.
Okay, so look, John, I'm not going to disagree with you on what Hanley is. Okay, we all know what Hanley is. But I do think they need him to win in the postseason.
Mass, he's gotten worse by the week.
He has. And he's also the only guy in that lineup that has a proven track record of hitting in the postseason. He really is when you look at it. It's astonishing, but it's true. It really is. Take a look at it. Who, you think Bradley's going to hit? 1-for-10, 7 strikeouts last year?
Hanley did nothing last year, though, too. He was yet another person in that lineup that gave you absolutely zero.
Okay, Mookie Betts looked to me like he was trying too hard last year. Bogarts didn't do well.
Benintendi was about the only guy that actually hit.
Benintendi hit okay. He did. He brain-locked in the outfield, but he hit okay. Hanley, I don't have it in front of me. I think his career average in the postseason is like 340. Hanley, when he wants to, can hit good pitching. So, incredible as it seems, I defer to Hanley's ability at the start of the postseason. If he still looks like garbage in the playoffs, then you will be right. They'll sit his ass on the bench, Murray, and that'll be the end of it. But if Hanley's hitting, he changes the lineup. And so I'll take that shot. I'm also willing to take a shot on David Price as the next Andrew Miller. I'm willing to take a shot on that. I just find it comical that Farrell is treating it the way he's treating it. Farrell's already got it in his head that this is the way they're going. Okay, he clearly has it in his head, which is why he gets so defensive when John Miller of WBZ asked it. So
a lot of strikes.
We'll play the cuts for you again here in a little bit. But I do want to get a little bit further into that win last night. Because you tell me, again, as a fan of the team, and it's hard to fully appreciate the nature of the comeback unless you watched it. And if you turned off the game in the middle innings last night, I don't blame you. It's a hard game to stick around when they're down 6-1 in the fifth. But then they come back. They go ahead 7-6. The Orioles tie at 7-7, 8-8. The Red Sox end up winning in 11 innings on a night where the Yankees won. So this is now twice in 4 days where the Yankees could have whittled this thing down to 2, and the Red Sox pulled out comeback wins to keep it at 3. And that is no small thing. And so you tell me. You tell me as a Red Sox fan, and I'm going to ask Murray and Jimmy Stewart here as well. The fact that the Red Sox have been able to put together these comeback wins, 14-3 in extra innings, is that luck, which is what the analytics people would tell you, the sabermetricians would tell you, that one-run games, extra-inning games, and to me there's a great similarity there, because effectively extra-inning games are one-run games. Even if you hit a grand slam in the 12th inning, you're still tied in extra innings. It's sudden death, for all intents and purposes, in baseball. Do those games indicate some sort of knack that the Red Sox have for pulling games out? Or are they luck, which is what people like John Henry deep down believe because they're into more the analytics of it? You tell me, which one is it, Murray?
I think they just have balls. I think it's the former. I think that they have an ability to win these type of games. It was something that they lacked last year because they were blowing teams out and they weren't good in close games. This team has sack. And even outside of the now 14 extra inning wins that they have this year, I go back to two series last month where I thought it was going to immediately unravel on them. The Yankee series in New York, I think the first Friday or second Friday of the month, where they end up losing the game where they have bases loaded with no outs in the ninth, and they still find a way to lose that game. They end up taking the series. And then a couple of weeks later, against Cleveland, in Cleveland, the first night, they have a lead. They blow it because manager John goes to Matt Barnes in the eighth inning on the road. It implodes on them. No one's surprised. And they ended up winning the next couple of games and splitting the series. Like, this team had, for all the issues this team has, they don't have any issues with balls. They can win close games. They can win tight games. And they've had this ability to win them late, too.
Jimmy Stewart, do you feel the same way? Does it translate what they do in the regular season here with these wins? Does that translate?
No, absolutely not. And I think it's a case where they've gone so long, they've just outlasted the other team's bullpen, which I don't think you can do in the playoffs because I think a lot of the pitching staffs are better than theirs.
So Alex Spear of the Boston Globe on bostonglobe.com today, sort of examine this whole idea of winning in extra innings and whether or not it translates into the postseason. And really, the easiest comp is the Baltimore Orioles in 2012. Do you remember the Orioles that year? Boy, they were terrific in extra innings. They went 16-2 in extra innings, the Orioles did. The Red Sox right now are 14-3. Mostly because they had a great bullpen like the Red Sox do. The Red Sox have had a great bullpen this year. Statistically, now there are some guys in there that I don't believe in. I don't believe in Matt Barnes. I don't believe in people like, you know, Robbie Scott, and there are other guys in there. But the only ones that I really believe in are Kimbrel and Addison Reed, and even Addison Reed has shaken my faith in him here a little bit. Now, Price gets in there and pitches well, we'll see. But that, to me, needs to be proven before I totally buy into the concept. But at the end of the day, the only guy I really have complete faith in is Kimbrel. That's it. Nonetheless, statistically, they have the second-best bullpen in the league, and they've been good all year. That is totally in line with what the Orioles were in 2012. The Orioles that year got in as the wild card team. They won the play-in game.
And then they lose to the Yankees.
And then they lost in five, I think, to Texas. But I don't remember for sure. I think it was against the Rangers. No, no, you're right. They beat the Rangers in the play-in game, Murray. And then they lost to the Yankees. You're right. You had it right. So Alex Speer writes, in 22 years of the wild card era, there has never been a World Series team that depended on extra innings wins in the fashion of this year's Red Sox. So again, there have been playoff teams. The 2012 Orioles made it. But World Series teams living on the edge like the Red Sox do, that's a hard trick to pull. I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm just telling you that if it continues in October, that will be a bit of a change. And to me, that makes perfect sense. Because when you go to win a game like you did on Friday night against Tampa, well, the Rays aren't playing for anything anymore. Or to win a game like you did last night against the Orioles. Watch some of the pitches Baltimore threw in that sixth inning last night. And I'm talking mostly about Dylan Bundy before they pulled him from the game. Boy, he did not execute well at all. He was garbage in that inning. But that said, the Red Sox fought back. And all I'm telling you is that the Red Sox played with intensity for the middle and end of that game. And the Orioles looked like they got ahead 6-1 and basically just went into cruise control. And it opened the door for the Red Sox to come back. In the postseason, nobody's taken anything for granted. It's hard to pull out comeback wins like that in the playoffs. I think. But I don't know. Maybe the Red Sox are the exception this year. It's going to be an interesting October, that, to say the least.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sox were down 5-0 and 6-1 in this one. Hot shot, lined into left, Bogart's in to score. Here comes Brock Holt. All the way to the wall, here comes Benintendi. He scores! Mookie Betts all the way down to second, and the Red Sox are all the way back, and they have the lead.
Mookie Betts capped it off at that three-run double into the left field corner. It was a huge hit in the regular season. And to me, this gets to be the core question about the Red Sox here in 2017. So this is ultimately where I've landed now. On September 19th, 2 weeks to go, the Red Sox were the three-game lead in the division and on the verge of wrapping this thing up. I believe in them as a regular season team. It's hard not to now. 2 years in a row, they should win, you know, 90-some-odd games. How many wins do they have now? I don't even have it in front of me. I'll see if I can find it here quickly.
Is it 86?
They are 86 and 64, Jimmy. Very good with 12 to go. So they're going to win 90-plus. Last year they won 93, I think it was. This year they'll win 90-plus again. So I do believe in them as a regular season team. It's the playoffs I don't know about. And so here's my question to you as a Red Sox fan, and we have a couple open lines. 617-779-0985. This is my question. All year long, have you just been waiting for the playoffs because you were pretty sure that they were going to win and get in? Or did they just not interest you all that much anymore? And it's okay if it's the second thing. It is. It's okay if it's the second thing. Baseball here is not going to be what it was in 2003 and 2004 ever again, unless the Red Sox somehow go 86 years without winning a championship. But I can tell you that for me, I really have been waiting more for the playoffs because ever since last October, this thing to me has been almost entirely about the playoffs. Almost 100% about the playoffs, particularly in the absence of David Ortiz. As I look at it now, and as I've looked at it all year, what do you really know about any of the guys on this team when it comes to nut-cutting time in October? What do you really know? Because Mookie Betts last year failed. Benintendi, as Murray pointed out, swung the bat okay, and certainly he injected life into the team late last season. But he also brain-locked on a play in left field, and this year has been a kamikaze on the bases. Benintendi makes a lot of base-running mistakes. Xander Bogaerts' stock has dropped dramatically. Jackie Bradley last year in the playoffs went 1-for-10 with 7 strikeouts. Mitch Moreland, I have no idea. He is just passing through, and he's not going to be here next year, I don't think. So Rafael Devers, I don't know. And I don't think that as much as we've talked about the Red Sox lacking an identity, and we've talked a lot about it this year, their identity ultimately with this group is going to be forged in the postseason. Somewhere along the line, if they're going to win in October, somebody's going to have a big moment or two. Maybe it's Chris Sale. Maybe it's Mookie Betts. But that is the stuff that forges an identity for you. It's not the stuff during the regular season. Adrian Gonzalez with the Dodgers has had plenty of good regular seasons. What's his reputation? He's a guy that has played more games than any active big leaguer except for Ichiro and has never played in the World Series. So to me, the identity of the Red Sox going forward for years is going to depend on October. It's going to be that way for Mookie Betts. It's going to be that way for Jackie Bradley. It's going to be that way for Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers and Andrew Benintendi and Chris Sale. All of them. It all comes down to October. We're just not all that impressed with the division title anymore, like the way they are in Cleveland when they raise a banner for crying out loud in the middle of the season. We've won too much here now, and not just in baseball. I just think it's all about October with these guys. All about October. Bills and Whitman. Bill, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. Yeah, real quick. I do agree with you on the waiting for the playoffs. I have been doing that myself. But I just wanted to bring up something yesterday. You brought up a great point. You were pinpoint on with it. You said the Red Sox have been making things hard on themselves, making things difficult lately. And when and talking about like you know, the series in Tampa and all these extra inning wins, go back 2 weeks ago, Labor Day weekend, when they went to New York with a chance to really put the division away, and they didn't do it. They lost 3 out of 4. And a lot of people around here were like thrilled that they still came out of there with a 3.5 game lead. I wasn't. I wanted a split in that series, and I wanted my ace pitcher to pitch well because he went 0-3 in 5 starts against him this year. And that is the reason why the Yankees are still hanging around because of that series. You get a split. You have a 5-game lead right now, and you're probably not having them in your mirror as much as you do now. Because they're still a threat. And you said yesterday you didn't feel confident. I mean, you didn't feel comfortable with the division yet. And I'm right with you on that, buddy. I really am. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, so, Bill, look, it's not wrapped up yet, right? It's not totally wrapped up yet. You're going to wrap up a playoff spot, I think, here by the end of the week. The magic number going into last night was 5, so at the very least you won one. That makes it 4. I don't know who honestly, I'm not tracking the magic number in the wild card race. I don't even know who's behind Minnesota. Who is that? It's the Angels, right? I think so. And I don't even know if that factors in. So they're going to clinch a playoff spot. They're going to be in, and they're probably going to clinch the division sometime early or middle of next week. I have to believe that too is a foregone conclusion because they have the talent and they are the best team in the division. Now I think Cleveland's better than them in the league. I think that the Astros are probably better than them. And in fact, I'd say that with some level of certainty, especially with Verlander throwing the way he is since they acquired him. He has been absolutely awesome. I think if Houston plays to its full capability, they're better than the Red Sox. I think if Cleveland plays to its full capability, the Indians are better than the Red Sox. But we all know it doesn't always work that way in the postseason. So if this thing gets down to 2, or heaven forbid 1, of course it's not over. Again, for whatever reason, the difference between 2 and 3 games to me in the division feels like a big number. Which is why I think these last 2 extra inning wins, the one on Friday night and then last night, are absolutely positively huge for the Red Sox. If both of those go the other way, you're one up right now, and we're talking about a collapse. That's what we're talking about. Instead, it's still 3 with 12 to go, and you say they're going to wrap this up, especially because they're going to Cincinnati this weekend.
Yeah, deep down, are you really worried about it? Because I'm not.
No.
I haven't been for a while.
But you know what, Murray, on a lot of levels, I wasn't worried about it in
2011.
Yes. And they completely collapsed.
Yeah, but there was a real stink emanating from that team for a month.
Okay, so I don't think the stink with this team is anywhere near as strong, but don't you think there's a little bit of a stink?
Yeah,
how did you feel?
It's a teeny whiff.
So how did you feel about them, though, a couple of months ago when the Price Eckersley thing was going on? Or when the Dustin Pedroia thing was going on early in the year? like, you know, there was enough there along the way that made you really wonder about...
Around the trade deadline, where I thought the Yankees made bigger moves, that the Yankees were ultimately going to end up winning the division. I've come off that, and now for the better part of the last month and a half, I thought the Red Sox have basically had this thing locked up, even if it's gotten close here in the last week or so, with three games. Even if it gets a little bit closer, even if it gets to one, I'm not worried about them winning the division. I really believe that.
I mean, maybe it's just me, which is not beyond the realm of possibility, by the way. It could just be me, but I'm still... holding back for some reason. Okay, and I think it's
you're a man who's seen too much.
Maybe. I think it's October. I think it's October of last year, really. That was such a disappointment the way they went down to the Indians. That I couldn't help but look at that.
Well, I think that's why there's a distinct lack of buzz with this team right now, and I talked about it when you were away last week. I wanted to know from people because it feels that way. And look, I'm sure the fact that they've played the Rays and the A's recently, and, you know, like you said, they get the Reds coming up. Like, I get it. This has been a close division. But do these series really get you all that pumped up right now?
No, they don't. And last year, again, in October, they fell on their faces. Right? They fell on their faces.
And that rightfully pissed a lot of people off.
Price went out and got bombed. Porcello went out and got bombed. Andrew Miller shut them down. They didn't hit. They got their asses kicked. Like, they just did not look ready for the moment. Maybe they are now. Maybe they are. I do not rule that out. That's entirely possible, of course. But that, to me, is what I'm holding back on. I need to see it. I need to see it in October when it matters before I can fully believe in who these guys are. There's been too much winning here over the last 15 years. And if it means we're spoiled and it means I'm spoiled, then I am. That's what I am.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.